But we had a little matter that we needed to solve in the Standing Committee of Finance, the matter that led to the Financial Services Laws Amendment Bill. And I thought we could dispose this matter within a very short space of time so that we go into the real business, to also allow the Finance Appropriation Committee to continue their work elsewhere. The matter pertaining to the Standing Committee on Finance is as to whether we need to debate in the House the Financial Services Laws General Amendment Bill report as we present it. As a practice that we have followed throughout the life of this committee, we have never decided in a committee whether we are going to debate or not. It was a matter that was left between parties to continue to engage and convince each other whether we need to proceed or not. I had gotten a report from the whip of the committee, Mr. Van Rooyen, by Monday, that this matter was not going to be debated, and there was consensus around in the committee itself, except that the DA wanted to debate. In our view, that's a technical big deal. Of course, it does have some fundamental changes and not. So I then should not deal with the matter yesterday in the House, so that we can have some sort of a consensus here as to whether we need to proceed with the debate or not. So I want to put the matter before the Standing Committee on Finance members, whether we should debate or not. That's the question I'm posing. Honorable Van Rooyen, followed by Harris, and Gordon Wolf.
Thank you very much. I think committee members fully contend with your summary that this is more of a technical thing, which is not necessarily to be major material changes in the political process that have been amended. So I will fully support that the committee should not debate this measure. And also, in the light of the serious authority that we have to debate this issue, I think women, just women for us, I mean, to consider that the committee must be not debate this matter like that, make a statement, and they therefore allow other parties to make this
decision. Honorable Harris, followed by Honorable Goranov.
Chair, the rules of parliaments are quite clear in that they anticipate that there will always be a second reading debate. That's the standard position. That's the assumed. It's assumed that every bill will be debated at a second reading. I think in some cases there may be logic to not debating a bill if it is indeed of a very minor technical nature. I do not agree that this bill is such a bill. It establishes significant new powers for financial regulators. And as you know, we had hours of discussion in this committee about whether those powers were adequately balanced by increased accountability. It's a fundamental political question, not a technical, it's not of a technical nature at all. So, Chair, I believe it is certainly the precedent that any party may request a debate on a matter. So our party and my own request remains that we do debate this. And I think the fact that it's a substantive political, in a way, amendment to the powers of financial sector regulators in a context where we need to get financial regulation right to avoid what's happened in the last few years around the world, I think there's a significant logic to debating it. And my request is certainly within the rules of Parliament as well as the precedent of parliamentary committees.
Honourable Coronel.
Chairperson, I don't want to go into debate, if this committee decides not to debate whether that is within the rules, yes or no, if there is still a request to debate. I've been consulted before, and my indication was that I am happy that we do not debate this bill. So you know, I'm very comfortable whatever is happening. If you do not debate, obviously you do have time to declare, and you know, every political party will declare. You know, and if you take that, if all the opposition declare, the ruling party will only have one declaration. So in terms of a declaration, the opposition get far more time in terms of debating than the ruling party. So I'm happy to say there's no debate and let's declare those who wants to declare. If that is not the case, I want to propose and maybe speak to my honourable member to the left. Whether we should not then consider to have a shortened debate, you know, instead of 79 minutes, go for a 30-minute debate.
Honourable Ross and Muyenge, Madlamini, and from there I'll put it to the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am of the view that it should be debated because of the importance of the limitation of liability clause that I think needs thorough introspection in terms of debate, and secondly also with regards to the constitutionality issues with regards to section 56 and 55, those issues, and I believe that a debate should be done, and I support the proposal from Honourable Harrison.
Honourable Yange.
Thank you, Chairperson. My view pertaining to this matter, Chair, is the view that says, yeah, there are no fundamental changes. This is more of a technical nature where a debate is not necessary. I therefore suggest that we stick to the view that comes from the table to say this particular matter requires no debate, and I support the view that says let us not debate this particular bill.
What's that mean?
The coaches, I'm partly covered. I just moved and second what was proposed by the chief, the whip of the commission. Thank you.
In the interest of time for other committee or the committee on appropriation, we shouldn't really deliberate on this matter. Can I put it before the committee? Those who are saying we should debate, is there a support for that? Is the DA in particular? And I want to say the report has been adopted by this committee and the report has not been referred back to the committee by the House. So the report stands. Now, the issue is, do you still maintain, and is there support for the DA's position that we should debate this matter?
Chair, we objected in the report, and that was noted, because we have significant problems with this piece of legislation. It's not technical. We do not believe it is, and I believe that any party has the right to call for a debate, and our call stands. I actually do not believe that a committee can take a decision like this not to debate. But if it decides to, we will simply object.
Okay. Can I put before the committee those who want to debate, can we see the support? Okay. And those who say the report must be read and declarations, can I see the support? Thank you. Yeah.
Can there is no objection of the DA.
We have noted the objection of the DA. Thank you. Can we go into the item on the consideration and adoption of the committee report on the revised fiscal framework? We have received a copy yesterday. It was circulated. Am I right, Ellen? Can we go through the reports page by page? Page one. I think we're ready, madams.
Thank you. The second paragraph, that date. Now the third paragraph. Framework on 30 October, is that the correct date? It should be the 29th of October.
29th of October.
Chairperson, can I just go quickly back to the previous agenda point? We must just make sure that the desk doesn't make the same mistake I indicated on the order paper that there will be a debate, because then we're exactly in the same position. Because the order paper is the order paper. And so if it's indicated tomorrow as a debate, the debate will continue.
No, we have taken care of that part. That's why the week has gone out now, just to communicate the programming people on this matter. You say the date is the 29. Well, I guess we want to finish our work. That's the changes on page 1, page 2. I know we focus more on the recommendation. That's normally what we do in the committee. But just to assist and make sure that the report does reflect that Van Roy.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, if you look at page 3, first paragraph, it's giving indication that due to long shutdown coupled with the prospect to reduce monetary accommodation in the U.S., will directly affect the global economy in general. The reality of the matter is that if we want this report to be relevant, we can't be referring to, because the issue of the shutdown has been addressed, and all of us, we know that we are no longer facing this dilemma. So I think we need to remove that and remain with a sentence that will reflect as the prospect to reduce monetary accommodation in the U.S. will directly affect the global economy, because that one in general, because that one is still a possibility. That's my submission.
Agreed on that amendment?
Yeah.
Okay. That's page 3. Can we move to page 4? I've gone through the report. It's relatively quiet, a good report. Last page?
On page 5, there's a quick one. Paragraph number 3, from the top, I think the last sentence that reads, supportive fiscal, monetary, and financial management policies will continue to support economic growth over the medium. It must be medium term, not medium.
Page 6.
On page 9, Chair, paragraph number 4, I think that the last sentence of that paragraph is a repetition of what is cited within that same paragraph. The levels of foreign currency dominated debt are low, reducing exposure to exchange rate shocks. You will find exactly the same sentence in the middle of the, that paragraph. So I suggest that the last sentence be removed.
Page 10. Never cut and paste.
Managing risk. It reads the 2013 budget framework includes a contingency reserve of 29 billion over the medium term. But if you see the allocation per each year of the MTDF, you establish that the overall or maybe the aggregate amount allocated for the 3 years is 27 billion instead of 29 billion. So I just wanted a clarity why 29, and I couldn't get that clarity before the meeting. So I wonder if I can get that clarity now. Why? What about the other? What happened to the other 2 billion?
Content advisor, where did you take the 2 billion?
Okay, it will be corrected.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Bring it back. That's okay. 13.
Is is expected to support about 200,000 jobs over the next 3 years. We can quote directly from the MTBPS. The 400 figure comes from the National Treasury discussion document that they distributed to us in the public hearings. So, like any matter raised by a member of this committee, certainly if it's based in actual data reported in the budget, then certainly this committee's report can contain it.
Indeed, the fact that the measure is expected to, or is estimated to support about 200,000 jobs is a fact. But I don't know where this 400,000 comes from. If I can be helped to establish this fact that is being referred to.
Is the terminology correct? Youth wage subsidy. Yeah. It's tax incentive. So Arnold van Rijn, what were you saying? I missed that part, sorry.
No, I just wanted to get the source of this fact of, because it was said that there is this fact of 400,000 jobs that were initially expected to be created.
Honorable Harris?
The two references, the 200,000 reference I already gave, it's page 17 of the medium-term budget policy statement. The reference for the 400,000 figure is page 17 of National Treasury's discussion paper for public comments called Confronting Youth Unemployment Policy Options for South Africa. Those are the two references for those two numbers.
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is true that perhaps that might be a comment of a member of the committee, but the observations are full of observations by other bodies other than this committee, whether it's Solidarity or NUMSA or so on. So perhaps the use of the word observations by the committee should be input to the committee or something, if that's a concern that Honourable Van Rooyen has, that the committee is endorsing certain aspects of these observations. That may well be a valid point, but the facts I don't think are in dispute. So perhaps the heading should be changed, but I don't think the facts are understood.
Let me just remind the committee that the minister responded quite eloquently to this so-called facts, more especially around the issue of monetary allocation. The 2 billion as compared to the 5 billion. And he made it very, very clear that here we are referring to two estimations meant for two different interventions. Because currently we are speaking of employment tax incentives as compared to the initially proposed and obviously ultimately reinforced by the deliberations in NATLEG. I mean to change to where it was. So it's very unfortunate for us to be still comparing the two. We need to be looking forward and saying we are having a product now after a robust process of consultation and engagement. So I don't think this particular submission of a committee and the submission by stakeholders, these are not two things. These are not the same thing. I mean, submission by the stakeholders obviously will refer to individual submission stakeholders. But committee observations, these are a collective observation. So I don't think this particular observation can be referred to as a committee observation, and I therefore suggest that it must be removed from these observations.
So, Aisalo, it's correct what the latter speaker has said. Because as a collective, a committee is a collective. Whatever becomes a committee resolution or a committee matter, it must be a matter that we agreed upon, that we say we have a concern. But if it is an input that is coming from a stakeholder, it can be noted because it is not coming from within. Therefore, we can't have personal views tend to be committee views. Let's remove it, sir.
Madam?
No, Chair, the two comrades, they just covered me.
Thank you. Honorable Boronov?
Chairperson, maybe Honorable Lees is correct. That's, if we change the heading, and you know, if you look at the first sentence, having considered the 2013 MDPPS public submissions, if we leave that 2013 MDPPS in, obviously then I think any member who sits in that committee who wants to make an observation, it's just stating the facts. You know, I do not agree with solidarity, but I'm not objecting to that here. I do not agree with NUMSA that they say statistics shows that unemployment rate is increasing. In fact, it slowly bettered yesterday when South Africa issued their figures. So I'm not raising this. The fact is whether it was raised and captured. It's not our, we're not concurring what is being said in this paragraph. If that is the case, let's go through it and start objecting to everyone. Every paragraph there.
Honorable Tipia, you wanted to say
something? Chairperson, if you go to page 17, just above the graph, the sentence that reads, it's in the MTPPS document, page 17, this measure is expected. It's again a forecast. It's not exact. To support about 200,000 jobs over the next 3 years. This can change. It's not cast in concrete. So they must be flexible as well. So I would propose that that sentence be captured in the report if the paragraph is to be retained. And it's a correct version of the MTPPS page 17. Otherwise, take it out.
Roger?
I'm tempted to change the suggestion and to allow this observation to be captured, but excluding those figures that are not cited in the fiscal framework. That is your 5 billion. What is this? Is 5,400,000 figures. Thank you.
Harris?
The sensible thing said today was by the Honourable Kunov. This is a record of what the committee observations were.
Now, sorry, Chair. Sorry, Chair.
Is it order?
It's not in order, Chair.
Yeah.
I think the member is out of order. By saying the most sensible, which means the rest of the people that are the honourable members that have been speaking, there is something that is not being sensible.
Everything that's been said today has been sensible. The most sensible thing was said by Honourable Kunov. This is a record of the observations of the committee. Now, Chair, I fully accept that if there was something that was patently untrue, then of course we shouldn't record that in our observations. But I've provided references from National Treasury's own documents. I'm happy for the text to change, but this was an observation made in the committee based on facts in Treasury's documents. So I'm happy to amend it, but the principle remains. This report is a record of the observations made. And as Honourable Kunov said, we can go back and debate every single one of these observations. Yeah. But I don't think that's a good use of our time. No. Let's simply let the record reflect what happened.
Well, is the observation of the committee. It's not an observation of everyone who came to participate in the public hearing. The observation of the committee. Now, Honorable Liang, you wanted to say something before I move on. Ochani and Liang.
No, Chair, I wanted to stress the fact that the point of order that was raised around the sensibility of aspects in this committee. So if we have levels of sensibility, it means that other issues that we deal with here, I mean, it's an insult that the honourable member is persistent on to say others are more sensible than others.
Honourable Harris, I listened, I heard you too. You didn't paraphrase that. You said the most sensible.
And the most sensible thing said was by Honourable Kunov. It doesn't take away from how sensible all the other statements made by the Honourable Lees and the Honourable Ross have been.
Now, you know what, let's not argue about this thing. I think let's just mind the language. Honourable Harris, I think let's just mind the language that we use, and we must show respect and decorum to the House. But a committee of parliament. You know this, we may not have cameras here, but the way we conduct ourselves when we communicate, it is how the public perceives us. So it is very, very important that we take that into consideration. There's no ruling on this matter, but I'm just saying, let's be mindful of the language that we use, please. Now, you are suggesting an amendment, and Honorable Harris say you agree with that amendment. We expunge the 5 billion, we expunge the 400 in the... Charlie?
No, no, sir, thanks very much. I think because initially I thought that the problem is the comparison made there under 4.20. But at the same time, my understanding is that observations of the committee are based on the formal presentation made on the subject matter, and out of that we can make our observation. Now there are two documents that have been cited. I'm not sure of the other document, the one that is comparing with what is on page 17, whether it was part of the submissions on this MTBPS. Because if it was not part of the submission, but it's a document that is existing, then it can be used as part of the observation arising out of those submissions. But if it forms part of that and the challenge is to convert the two, then you can separate the 2 points and resolve the matter. But if it was not part, then discard that part because it's not part of what everybody has observed. It remains the observation of one person who had been able to reach that particular document and compare which is what we are doing.
Honourable members, can we do away with this 4.20? Let's expand it. Agreed?
I don't agree.
Okay. Can we note your objection?
Okay. Can we just, Chairperson, just for future reference, just make sure that we include in this section formal submissions, in front of the committee. Otherwise, it can become a little bit of a circus if I'm saying things, he's saying things, Lise is saying things, and it's not captured, then I'll object. So let's say formal submissions in this paragraph in future.
Okay, thank you. Honourable Lise?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a list of observations from third parties, assuming that's our decision, then it is incomplete. And I'm wondering how one then decides what to put in and what not to put in. And I shall give you an example. On page 13, it is recorded that BUSA is concerned that debt stabilization level will be reached later than previously anticipated at a higher percentage.
Can I just say, Honorable Lish, sorry? You say you are quoting an organization. Say BUSA.
Mr. Chairman, if you allow me to complete what I'm saying is that particular input from BUSA has not been captured as an observation, whereas other inputs from Solidarity and NUMSA, etc., have. And my question is not why that hasn't been, is how does one then determine what should be part of the observations and what should not be part of the observations when we're looking at third-party presentations to our committee? Let's put aside the individual members' input, but just third-party. Because if one's going to put some in, then one should put everything in, and then perhaps the report will become overburdened, I'm not sure. But to my mind, that particular input from BUSA is critical. It might not be the concurrence of the other members of this committee that it is critical, but to me it is, and it is, whereas the input from Solidarity to me is not an issue, you could drop it. So I'm wondering how one determines what should and should not be there.
Chair, I think we are engaged in a process that is, you know, there's this temptation in this institution of trying to do things unconventional at the end of the term or maybe towards the elections. But the real of the matter is that we are introduced to this process. We have been introduced to this process for the past four years, couple months. So I wonder why these questions now. I mean, the process is very simple. And members must not be afraid of engaging on reports as they've been doing out throughout the whole term. Because the result of the matter is that we got the secretariat of the committee that obviously writes a draft report to us, and as a committee we need to check if they've kept up the key facts that as presented during the public hearing. And nothing stops us, I mean, from taking this deliberation point by point. It must not be used as a threat. Nothing stops us from doing that. So members, if they feel that...
Order. Mr. Chairman, there is no threat, Mr. Chairman. You very correctly said, please watch our language. I would request the Honourable von Rooyen to do exactly the same thing.
Nothing stops us as members, I mean, to I don't know what to use now, to be threatened by deliberations or to be scared from deliberating. But the reality of the matter is that members are allowed to enrich this report, and if there are areas that they think they are not necessarily important to be kept in this report, they must indicate now and we must take a debate on that. There's nothing that stops you from doing this. Thank you.
Honorable members, I have put before you, in fact, I have suggested from the table that let's not try to marry various documents and inputs on this particular point. And the best way of dealing with it is to leave it out. Agreed? Honorable Leaf?
Mr. Chairman, I shan't agree, but I do then move that the observation made by BUSA please be included in the list of observations. And Mr. Chairman, I am somewhat concerned that my point of order did not receive your support or your ruling.
Well, we have passed that point, Honorable Lees. I take note of what you've raised, and if you take offense to that, I'm sorry about it. Let's move on. Honorable Botman.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I think the spirit is such that we are saying this is a report captured out of our deliberation as the committee, to say this is what we have observed as the committee, and as a result of that, this is what we are recommending. And in terms of observation, one cannot take each and everything that was there. You observe those things that you believe would need to be dealt with for the future of what you would want to do. And as a result, the recommendations will then be coming, some of which would come from the understanding of what was presented before you. And I think if we take it in that spirit, we cannot therefore come today and want to add something new altogether. We will have to then say, is this what was deliberated on this report? Is this what we have observed, one? Is this what we have recommended? If there is something that we did not, as a committee, agree upon, we will then indicate that this was never our reflection, which is what I think has been done in terms of the observation, to say, we don't know where this comes from, and as a result, we are not going to therefore agree that that particular issue be captured. In terms of recommendations, this is what we have recommended. And that should be the approach, which would therefore say, is there anything that we say as a committee we never deliberated on in this recommendation? Because I think we are now at the stage for recommendation, and we take it from there. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, I think we have exhausted this matter, and as such, let's expand this particular clause or paragraph so that we can move into recommendations, because that's what the committee should be concerned with, honestly speaking, not observations. Observations are important, but at the end of the day, let's be seen to be doing our work in a serious way. Agreed? We're on recommendations. Recommendation 5.1. Madame.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've got a bit of a concern with the sentence number 3, which reads thus, National Treasury should intensify, then it goes on until ways to build confidence with the economy and to reduce the reliance on foreign investors to finance. Now, my problem there, Chair, is we need to, I don't think the recommendation is based on the key performance of the National Treasury. Now, if we are saying, and two, what we are recommending, I am not too sure whether it is measurable and it is achievable. Because when we recommend, we must recommend something that you know that the national Treasury is able to achieve it and it is measurable. So if the members can just read the sentence I read and try and get the clarity. Starting from the National Treasury should intensify and strengthen its working relationship with business and goes on and on, to build confidence within the economy, to build confidence within the, is it?
Anyone wants to comment on this particular submission?
I do not agree as a small and open economy. You know, in what? You know, in Africa, we're not small. So I'll take out small there. And then I also, in the second line, rather say should be managed, not can be managed. If we keep it. Well, she's making a valid point.
Chani, you know, I'm just thinking, the question that advisor must have done economics 101. You know, trade.
So I suggest, you see that 5.1, the only part that seems to be the recommendation which honorable Madam does not agree with is that one that from National Treasury should. The rest of the other things, they're just statements. And therefore,
No, I agree with Honorable Kuranov. 5.1, you speak about the South African economy. You can't say it's a small and open. South Africa is a susceptible to external shocks. That's fine. But to qualify as whether it's small or big or open, I don't think we need to go there. The issue of the national treasure, I think the context within which this paragraph should be raised, I understand the spirit, is about government, business, labor, and civil society coming together to work and ensure that we instill confidence in the economy. I think that's what you should find a way to phrase. It's not national treasury that must lead this process. Agreed, Ndate Van Rooy.
This introduction of statements into recommendation, I realize it's extended to all the recommendations. So I wonder if maybe this is a new format of reporting, because we have never dealt with statements and then recommendation. Maybe they are cushioning the recommendation to guide us, I mean, why are they recommending on a specific area. I'm not sure if it's a new format. But if it's a new format, Chair, the last sentence that reads, mining strikes shaved of 2% points of export, and that long sentence, it's also a statement. And I think if really the new format allows for statement, it must go where it belongs, to the statement, and then thereafter have that recommendation that we have just supported. Thank you.
Can we therefore propose a recommendation on this particular paragraph? What is it that we are saying?
I think you have summarized the chair. The recommendation is that one starting from the treasury. In the context of what you have said, the issue of the need to partner, the collaboration between the private sector and the public sector.
It's a recommendation.
Yeah, it's a recommendation.
Remove all these other refraps in the paragraph.
Okay. Unless it's a new format.
Agreed, brother?
Yes, you know, I agree, Chairperson. The only thing is that with respect to defining the statistics of the economy, we usually define it just as a government, not small.
Yeah. You factor that in. We are part of the major market. All right. 2, 5, 2.
No, Chair, I think it's the same issue that I've got, where a national, we need to phrase it in a better way. It might be a correct content, but it is not correctly phrased, in that we're more like in national treasury, must perceive that it's being in charge of other departments. Like now it's going to be in charge of education, making sure that it assesses the education space, value for money.
Thank you. I think the sentence or the recommendation should just start with National Treasury should assess the value for money and efficiency and effectiveness. I think from there the sentence should follow. So just a recommendation. I think that first part, first sentence should also be removed. It's just statements.
Okay. Agree on that? 5.3? I'm sure we changed the content advice. This is the same, it's not the same pattern that we've been following. 5.3? National Treasury should fast track implementation of the NDP, educate or assist the department to align the strategic plans, annual performance plans, sector plans, delivery agreements and budgets with the priorities of strategic objectives articulated in the NDP. National Treasury should assess the plans, assist the departments and provide feedback to Parliament before the tabling of the national budget. Who?
Ross? Thank you, Chair, but this one I have no problem. It's an implementation statement and confirmation.
Dade, Van Rooy?
Yeah, Chair, you know, I'm not sure who's responsible for the implementation of the NDP. Is the National Treasury the driver of the implementation of the NDP, or are we assigning it new responsibilities? Because You know, if we say it must take the responsibility, then it's as if it's confirmed that National Treasury is the one that might make sure that all other departments comply. And I'm not sure of such a directive. So I'm worried, Chair, we might take a decision that is really not implementable. It's ideal, I mean, for the NDP to be implemented by all departments. But I doubt if it's a responsibility of National Treasury to sue.
Can we make recommendations? If there's no, then we expand. Now, the issue here, basically, and I think even the medium-term budget policy statement, the minister did say, in the budget, in February, the minister said, it is the beginning of aligning national resources with the NDP. In the medium-term budget policy statement, he repeats the same, but to say, we begin to see greater alignment. Now, if we want to make a recommendation around alignment of national resources with the NDP, just like as Professor Busa said yesterday, to say we should continue to recognize the National Development Plan as an anchor and overriding policy objective. So all other policies should be aligned to that. Now, if we want to make a recommendation along those lines, let's speak directly to that.
I think to be on the safe side, my specific recommendation is that let's assign this, or maybe let's say National Treasury should focus, should fast-track implementation of NDP, and ensure that alignment of its annual performance plan, etc. Let's confine it to National Treasury. Let's not say it must now all of a sudden do it in other departments. My suggestion is that let's have a recommendation that aligns its own plans to the National Development Plan.
Okay. Honorable Liz, content advisor secretariat, are you capturing this, please?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The wording that might work would be the National Treasury should assist with the implementation of the NDP by offering education or other assistance to departments to align the strategic plans. Then it's not not giving them the task of doing it, but assisting.
Is that a complementary to what was proposed earlier, or is it a new proposal? Honorable Van Rooy?
No, I think it's a new proposal. But my proposal is very specific that it must be confined to its own place and programs, not to other departments. Because, you know, what's my challenge to support this suggestion? I don't have anything against the suggestion, but I'm not sure if it is mandate. I mean, to support other departments on implementation of the NDP, you know.
Madam?
No, Chair, the other thing is that I think what Honorable Liz has just raised is very important, it's understandable, but the question is that maybe the problem with that, Honorable, is that do we think our National Treasury has got a capacity to do that? Because now we must not add, because there is other department which is doing the monitoring, so the capacity might be a problem, but that doesn't mean that what you're saying is wrong.
Yeah. You see, the monitoring and evaluation of government programs is with the department in the presidency. So if we want to talk about monitoring and evaluation or the implementation or advancement, it is not within National Treasury. But because we're talking about allocation of resources here in terms of the medium-term budget for you, we are not talking about National Treasury's plans alone. You're talking about government, generally. You're talking about government needs to align whatever plans and so on and so forth with the National Development Plan. And I think we should actually leave it at that level. The alignment of resources with government plans or in government plans with the National Development Plan. The evaluation and monitoring and assessing is with a different portfolio. Can
can you find a way to capture what you are saying? Who's doing this?
This is not doing this.
Who's doing this? Now he's going outside. Who's? Okay.
The lady at the
corner. All right. Then the one who does that make about somebody.
Esther.
Please. We don't want to deal with this kind of things again. 5.4. That.
Yeah, here before I make a recommendation as you were advised, Chair, I would like to clarify. What are we referring to? Are we referring to the employment tax incentive or are we referring to the job fund? Because if you go through this paragraph, I think it's touching on the aspects of both employment tax incentive as well as the job fund. So if I can just get clarity here, Chair, what are we referring to here before maybe one makes a recommendation?
Honorable Harris?
So I hope I can help the whip here because I've got a proposal in this regard. But let me just say first that I think it's very useful that our support staff have drafted recommendations. You know, every time we get to this part, it takes us a long time to do the drafting. It's very useful that they've done it. I don't agree with everything they've done, but so far it's a very good starting point. So just thank you to them. On this one, 5.4, I agree with the whip. It's very poorly worded. I've spent some time trying to save it, and I don't think we can. I suspect we should just simply delete 5.4. It clearly doesn't deal with the jobs fund because that's dealt with in 5.9. But what it requests us to do on the employment tax incentive is already done in the legislation. So I know Kunov has some hope of being able to resurrect it, but my proposal is simply that we delete it.
Agree with the proposal, Chair.
Yeah, there's greater convergence. Yeah, no. As the Honorable in charge of the wine cellar, Honorable Gordon Wolf, I'm sure we'll have a champagne later on. 5.5.
Accelerate the work of the Chief Procurement Office.
and then I'm happy if we want to then delete the next sentence as the whip proposes, and then cut straight to National Treasury should submit to Parliament a progress report on the National Procurement Office. I think that's that would be helpful. But I agree, we shouldn't mention all of these other corruption issues.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Madam.
Thank you, Chair. No, I just want to add on the proposal that mine was to say the National Treasury should provide the, or no, the National Treasury should submit, not submit advice, like instruction. But Chair, it's more like the National Treasury must be able to give the committee who will be sitting whatever next day the key performance areas or the program of the procurement. Because what is lacking in this committee is that we understand the procurement is the chief procurement officer is there, but we are not too sure about his key performance areas so that we are able to do an oversight. I don't know if that is being crafted.
I think leave with the earlier suggestion, Madam, because the point we are raising was dealt with in the annual report of National Treasury in terms of progress in the establishment of the chief procurement officer and so on and so forth. So I think we should agree with the earlier amendment. And I hope in conferences you'll be called scribers. The scribers are capturing everything that you're saying.
Your head is buried into something there. I'm not sure whether you're doing what you're talking to you. Are you fine? Yeah. Okay. 5-6.
Correction. I think it should be the first line should be lagging instead of too lag. Otherwise, it's fine.
I think the spirit of this recommendation, as far as I'm concerned, is fine. It addresses some of the issues that we are raising. The regulatory framework to enable SMME development and so on and so forth. 5-7. Yeah, it sounds like in another meeting. See, when people start by saying going forward, it's like I'm in another meeting. Going forward. I note Honorable Van Rooyen, Honorable Gordon Wolf. You can't go backward. Going forward. All right.
Yeah, I don't know what was the rationale of this recommendation, because to me it suggests that as a country we don't have such a study, or maybe never a study of such a nature was conducted in our shores, on our shores. But also it goes on to suggest that I'm not sure if we are still in the same meeting. I thought I was speaking to myself. All right, thank you. So, in the nutshell, Chair, I want to suggest that we remove this, because really, I doubt if we don't have a study. Well, I can't keep on referring to studies. I'm definitely sure that there is information that can tell us what contrast the key drivers. And we have done a lot of analysis so far on the continent, the economic status of the continent, but also what is it that they are doing that we must learn from them, and what is it that they can learn. I think there are a lot of studies that have been conducted. I mean, for us, we're referring to this situation as if nothing has been done. Then all of a sudden, we're also recommending that, the recommendations also citing that business should also play its role in educating many multinationals about opportunities in South Africa and Africa following the government. I think the spirit of this recommendation is the one of obviously this last sentence of encouraging collaboration within government and the business, and that has been captured in the previous recommendation. But all in all, Chair, my recommendation is that, my suggestion is that we remove this recommendation.
Chairperson, I like this recommendation, but I don't think we can give instructions to BUSA. We should rephrase it to say, let's ask Treasury to engage with BUSA and then do what they should do. I think it's a very valuable report. But then we must ask Treasury to come back with us in the next 3 months. There might just come out very valuable stuff. Why Sub-Saharan Africa is doing better than us, and expose it a little bit and then deal with it out of a Treasury point of view. So I think it's very valuable. It's a little bit out of the box, but it is valuable. So I would like to say let's ask Treasury to drive this process. We can't ask BUSA to do it.
Malami?
No, thank you, Chair. No, I do understand what Honorable Korinoff is saying, but I think the matter was covered on the previous point where we're talking about the National Treasury creating an effective and efficient relationship with the civic, other organizations and others. But after to be specific and tell them what must they do, it means you need to tell everybody that when you meet with so-and-so, National Treasury do that. I don't think it's quite relevant. Much of it is good. It will be identified by National Treasury when then they form that relationship or they engage on those deliberations. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Chair, maybe to pursue my submission. We are almost 20 years into our new democracy. It really, to me, it doesn't occur well that we are still calling for studies. I mean, we can't be a government of studies and commissions. It's time to act. We know where the problems. We know where the problems, and we know where we are leading. So I'm not comfortable with this calling for a study as if we are in this thing for the first time. We have been in this field and we know where are the gaps, so let's act.
Chairperson, the Institute for Economic Research at the University of Stellenbosch, I click on the correction, I think I've done this research. Our researchers can engage with that institute to get this information. I don't think this is something brand new.
So you want it to be expanded?
Yes.
That was my initial and still my submission, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I would just like to add another angle to what we have seems to have been decided to be deleted, and that is 5.7. I think if we could leave out the first three sentences and actually start with a sentence that would read as follows: business should also play its role in educating the multinationals. And then we go on with that sentence, noting, of course, an agreement with what my colleague said about the endless studies that have been conducted in our country. That would be an instruction to business also to play its role in educating the multinationals and about opportunities in our country. Thank you.
You know, let me just say this. I hear colleagues, you are saying what you expect. Particular point. If you have listened to the budget policy statement or speech by the minister, in fact, I think in the public hearings or the briefing of the MTBPS by the minister to the committee, joint committees, one of the things that he actually said is that South Africa by projects, we've got more projects in the continent, but not in terms of value. Not in terms of value. And it's because there is not reluctance, but I think to a certain extent there is a delayed reaction by the South African corporates to take advantages in Africa. Now, I agree that we may not need studies and so on and so forth, but we should be able to catch that spirit in our recommendation to encourage or there's a greater need of complementary action between business and government in terms of taking opportunities, investment opportunities in the continent. How we phrase that as a recommendation is something different from it. But we shouldn't lose that spirit, or we shouldn't lose capture that particular point. That's the point that I wanted to make. In terms of what more information can we learn, yes, there are many sources and so on and so forth, but there's not anything that suggests that we as a committee, we cannot ask National Treasury to do an analysis that they must come and present to a committee so that we can understand what is it that makes us not perform at the level that others are performing in the continent itself. But as to how you phrase that as a recommendation is something else. I don't have the words for that. But I just wanted to put the spirit within which this paragraph is actually crafted. Because it might not have been captured properly in terms of what they intend to do. But I think the spirit is important in terms of what South Africa needs to continue to do. Honorable.
Now, thank you. I think you spoke also at length about the key drivers that the private sector must identify. I would like to say that we should maybe start this, the sentence say, by saying that Treasury must engage with BUSA to analyze the studies made that contrast the key drivers of economic growth in South Africa. I think we must just make it simple and straight. Let's then have those studies made, but we should analyze those studies. And Treasury must engage with BUSA about that. That's the way.
Agreed. I think it's okay. Yeah. 5.8.
Chairperson, you remember my passionate plea with regard to this cost containment measures. I remember that the minister was saying he will refer some of it back and also add new measures if necessary. So I don't know, you know, what to say with regard to this. Maybe just to say add and change when practical necessary, and the report to the committee accordingly. I think there are more measures Treasury can contemplate in terms of savings, but some of the announcements were probably not practical, and there must be leeway to change that.
Are there remarks on 5.8? Did you capture it, committee section? You've got that clear? 5.9? We are with 5.9, page 17. Members, do you agree? There's silence. Agreed. Honorable Harris.
Chair, the DA has I'm not speaking for my colleagues. I have three additional proposals to add to the recommendations. I'm not sure if you want me to read them out or submit them to the staff or the whip. Read them.
Okay. Read them out.
I've kept them very short. The first one is dealing with that recalibration of the budget deficit, if you remember. has said that National Treasury should, within 3 months, submit to this committee a report on the recalibration of the budget deficit measure and include a comparison of the approach in other countries.
Honourable members, point by point. Although Tamini Sana.
Thank you, Chair. I hear what the proposal is saying, but Chair, I think somehow, Chair, we need to be very practical. If you are saying the National Treasury needs to come in 3 months' time, we are saying it's November, tomorrow, December, January. Where are we going to be in January? And there's going to be no committee when we come back. So I don't think then the proposal is valid.
We will be then about 30 days away from the national budget tabling.
I'm not wedded to the time period. I'm happy for it to be whatever time is reasonable.
You want to take out the 30 days or 3 months? I put that point to the committee. Agreed? May carry on, Honourable Harris.
Thanks, Chair. I haven't put a time period on this one. The National Treasury should report to the committee on the approach to the allocation of the contingency reserve in light of the allocation of the full contingency reserve in this year's MTBPS. It was this comes from an engagement with Treasury where I queried the fact that the contingency reserve is now zero as of this budget, and one of the officials from Treasury said that that's a normal approach, but Chair, that's news to me. So I certainly would like some more clarity on Treasury's approach to the contingency reserve.
Just read the point again.
Treasury should report to this committee on the approach to the allocation of the contingency reserve in light of the full allocation of the reserve in the MTBPS. There may be a very good answer, Chair, but I'm, as far as I understand it, the contingency reserve is important in case unexpected events occur, and if your contingency reserve is zero, it seems to me you would then be exposed. But I'm willing to be convinced by Treasury. I just need them to give me the detail.
To the committee? What about Slamini?
No, Chair, based on the knowledge deficit on the matter that is raising, the contingency reserves, and taking what the National Treasury explained to us when Honorable Harris was raising the issue, I was comfortable with it. So can I propose that rather than to be the committee decision to put it as a recommendation, can they first, the member, because the member is talking on his behalf, not even on the behalf of his party, to maybe start first engaging with the National Treasurer so that he gets the clarity. Because I, for one, I was happy when the minister explained to us why when Honorable Harris was raising that issue on 4, 7, 5. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Harris.
I am, as an individual member, making this proposal, but I suspect that most members in the committee don't know the answer to this question. If someone does know the answer and they could tell us now, I'm happy to drop this as a recommendation, but certainly, unless that can happen, I think we should get assurance from Treasury as to the approach that they're using.
Honorable Makubela and then Honorable Ross.
Chairperson, I will propose that Honorable Harris to direct the question to the minister, not to submit the question supposed to be the minister to the treasurer. Thanks.
Honorable Ross?
Yeah, I disagree with the view of engaging with the minister directly. I think it will be very useful for the committee to be informed with regards to the contingency reserve. It's an important issue, and the amounts that was given in the MTBPS does raise some concerns, and I think it's very appropriate to the committee to be informed with regards to exactly how the contingency reserve is calculated.
Dr. Luende.
Chair, the ministry indicated long time ago that
this committee have the right to give suggestions. Why don't we then do exactly what the honorable member has said here, to say the honorable member's concerns can be dealt with at the level of the department. He has a right, the honorable member has a right to advise the minister. The minister will have time to listen to the honorable member. It cannot really be a tool that is used within the committee when we do not feel like that, all of us, in the name of collectivism. Thank you.
Thank you, coaches. So, coaches, I still stand by saying, since it's an individual suggestion by the honorable member, but seconded by his colleague, I am requesting the chair, we do not accept the proposal made by Honorable Harris, based on what I've said earlier on. If he needs a clarity on this matter, he needs to communicate or make it as a question directly to the minister, as was proposed by COOP. I thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chair. Order, please.
No, Chair, I think I'm not too sure as to whether what you want is how it's calculated, or we want to arrive at the facts as to how does the Treasury handle this whole thing of contingency, given the fact that GFA is zero. I'm also interested to know how did they arrive at making it zero this year and starting to rebuild it in the outer years. But if majority of members doesn't see the necessity of putting it as a recommendation, it's fine, but perhaps we need to agree. I don't see anything wrong in the committee, in one of its coming meetings, inviting Treasury just to explain that in details for the benefit of every member, so that we are on the same page with their thinking.
I think that is very valuable input by the Honourable Chairman, that we engage in with Treasury in a formal meeting. Honourable Lees.
Mr. Chairman, this is a joint committee meeting, and
sure.
It is quite clear that the Select Committee is happy to have such a presentation, and I'll leave the Standing Committee to make their decision.
I'm a chair back to on the Mount Muhammad.
Where do I start? Okay. Now, I think that there is a consensus that the minister is a relevant and appropriate time should be requested to come and make a presentation to take everybody into confidence, not into confidence, but to put us on the same wavelength on this particular matter. In the observation that, you know, your contingency reserve is zero, and moving into the future, they are rebuilding the reserves. But of course, it's because you are coming from the fiscal space that is a bit tight and all those kind of things. I would want to imagine. But I don't want to preempt what the minister will then say to us as a committee. Agree that I remember. We can't spill blood over this one. No blood on the floor. Where are we?
Are you done?
Yeah,
I had one more, but in the spirit of this convergence, I will phrase it as a parliamentary question to the minister, and I will let Honourable Dlamini have a copy of the answer.
Thank you. In the absence of Honourable Chabalala and Honourable Van Rooyen, I'll convey the message. Honourable Rob,
in my personal capacity, and perhaps as the DA, I also drafted two very small recommendations with regards to the concern of energy security, but let me phrase it as follows. I'm noting the efforts of the Chief to achieve energy security in the Eskom Build Program, the committee expresses our concern with regards to the cost and time overruns and impact on the economy and the cost implications. Something to this effect, that because as a finance committee, I think we need to note that the time and cost overruns in terms of the huge build program, it has a tremendous effect on the economy, and that we express our concern with regard to the time and cost overruns in terms of this. But we qualify it that there is a sincere effort in terms of the build program by Eskom to achieve energy security. I will draft and phrase it if there's consensus from the committee and send it through. That would be my second, my first recommendation. My second one was, okay, fine, thank you. Then I'll leave it for discussion on that. On the Istanbul program, we recognize the efforts in achieving energy security, but secondly, we express our concern as a committee with regards to the huge cost and time overruns and the cost implications for the economy of South Africa.
Is that not partly, should it be located in the observations? Or you want it to be a recommendation?
Yes, sir. It is. Absolutely correct to say it's an observation, but I would like to have as a recommendation that we express our concern as a committee that we are indeed concerned with regards to the cost implications. Noting that if we don't achieve energy security as the proposed dates, it could have a tremendous effect on the economy, and we as a committee should show that responsibility in putting it on paper, at least that we were concerned, that we did address the issue, and that we that our concern should be noted.
Agreed?
Yeah.
Okay. Someone what?
Thank you, Chair. That was then a proposal, individual proposal. The second one is with regards to the progress made in terms of inflation-related prices in electricity.
Administered
prices, yes. The old story, yeah.
You've got a friend in another. Who speaks about cooperatives and everything? You speak about
administered prices and the concern for the industry with regards to that. But I would like to make this recommendation linking it to the proposals that the Reserve Bank Governor made to this committee, and it's a very relevant proposal that our concern is now with regards to the petrol price, the increase in the petrol price, that the committee, and my proposal would be as follows, that the committee recognizes the, our concern with regards to the increase in the petrol price and also with the regulated gas pump price.
Well, in terms of petrol price, I think even the governor did indicate that it's one of those exogenous factors, the price of crude oil and all that. We don't have a leverage over it in South Africa. So,
Chair, you're making a valid point, if I may continue. You're making a valid point, but there's also a domestic aspect to the petrol pump price. And we have the international aspect, which is the crude oil and the exchange rate, but certainly there's a huge domestic aspect with regards to the levies and taxes in terms of the petrol price. That we note our concern with regards to the increase of the petrol price as a committee, and that we can ask the regulator to give us some advice with regards to this, and also with regards to the gas price, which is about 50% inflated at this point in time.
Honourable Koranov,
my chairperson. You know, I don't like high fuel prices, but I don't think we can go there. It's a market-related issue.
Okay, let's rest this particular point. There's not in the recommendation, Honourable Ross. Okay, where are we now? Can I get somebody to move for the adoption of the report with this amendment?
Yes.
Madam, no corrections. We adopt. You know, honorable members, we have got people who are coming to make a presentation. They're supposed to start at 10:15. Can we move with a little bit of speed, please? Okay, seconded. Yeah.
Honorable member of the Select Committee for Finance, I put the question, proposal for adoption of this report. Honorable Chani moves for adoption, seconded. Honorable Makubela seconds, Joseph and Honorable Lees. Thank you, Honorable members. And this report is adopted by the committee and will be considered in the NCP tomorrow afternoon at around about 5 o'clock in Shoshanguve in Gauteng. in a special setting. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Please take your 5 to 10 minutes leg stretch, human break, and for the committee, appropriation committee, I want to thank my co-chairs, Honorable Chani, Honorable Dubious, and all the members of the executive committee for the great work that you've done. It's been a very short piece of time. One of the outstanding matters that we still have to deal with in terms of the amendment for teaching all that. In the time frame, you can see we are not really getting ourselves enough time.